In this episode, I talk about how your way is more important than the way. The path is only right if it's right for you. So here we go, episode 261, Find Your Way.
Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started.
Someday, hopefully soon, I will get myself a new podcast chair. I have a really comfortable chair in my office. I love it, but it has a little squeak in it. I think I've talked about this before. Anyway, so every time I do a podcast, I have to move the big comfy chair away, often after recording a little bit of the podcast and then realizing I didn't have the right chair, and then I have the squeaks, and then I have to re-record. And I take out this folding chair, which, you know, has a little padding, but not really enough. And it's a little too low. Anyway, I want a new chair. I'm saying that out loud because maybe I'll just actually go get myself a comfy chair that doesn't squeak. Anywho, that's not really what I wanted to talk to you about on this podcast. Recently, I did another clinic at home here. It was just a two-day clinic. And, you know, the goal is always finding harmonious connections with the horses. And I find that a really fascinating process. And I love having each individual person and the individual horse that they're with and trying to figure out, like, where are they? Where do they need to go? And what's the next step for them to head in that direction? And after decades and decades and decades and decades of being a trainer and doing it professionally with, well, the professional part doesn't matter, but being a trainer and training lots of horses and lots of students, I'm pretty good at knowing, like, the way. I'm like, here you are. If here's where you want to get to, like, these are the pieces you need. However, the way won't really be valuable to the rider at all if they don't feel ready or able to do it. And this actually happens a lot, and it can be really frustrating for the student. So students are in a program, they're told here is the way to do it, here's the technique, but for whatever reason, they can't do it. It could be that they don't feel comfortable with that horse. It might be a physical limitation. It might be an emotional limitation. It might be, you know, who knows why. You know, if we all did it, we'd all be successful all the time with every horse. So let's say, you know, that they're told to do something. They're told, hey, when your horse does this, this is what you need to do to get them over it. You see it being done. You know, but let's face it, sometimes with horses, things are messy or they don't feel right or whatever. There's lots of reasons why we might not be able to accomplish what we're being asked to do. And this is such a huge reason why riders lose confidence. And, you know, let's say the same thing happens to horses, right? Horses are in a program. It's a perfectly good program. It has been successful in developing other horses, but this horse can't do it. For whatever reason, they can't. And if they can't, and the system isn't flexible, then that horse just experiences being wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong, and the horse will lose confidence. So for me, what's really fun as a teacher is to find not only the way, but the way for that rider and that particular horse, the way they are in reality right now. And how do I do it so that they can improve together and give them a good chance of still getting them to their goal? So for me, the relationship is everything. The relationship between them and their horse. You know, there can be many ways to get to a result. And the key is to find your way with your horse. Now, there's certain realities of biomechanics and physics and gravity, you know, that can't be violated. But how you work with them can be really different. And deep down, I think that this is what every, or at least most, horse people want. I mean, if someone doesn't want to have this relationship with the horse, this nuanced way of navigating together, then they ought to, you know, pick up a tennis racket or a motorcycle where you just do a thing and the thing does what you told it to do. And there's other things that are happening, like your horse might act differently with you than with someone else. And you might act differently with this horse than any other horse. I mean, it's chemistry, it's energy, it's dynamics, and it's realities, especially if perhaps you're not the same rider as you used to be. I mean, that could be due to age, due to injury, due to some traumatic event. There could be lots of reasons. We all are going to experience that. So it's not wrong to find a different approach to the same goal. It's also not wrong to adjust your goals. I came across this Alan Watts quote. I've been like binging on Alan Watts lately. He says a lot of stuff that other teachers I listen to talk about, but he just has such a cool way of expressing it, and his voice is really interesting. So anyway, one of his quotes was, "Love is giving people the freedom to disappoint you." And then he talks about how true love requires abandoning the need to control others or force them to meet expectations. And it suggests that this unconditional love involves accepting the risk of pain, of disappointment, and to let people be themselves rather than acting from a place of insecurity or selfish desire. And when I read this quote, it's just so applied. Well, it applies to life, but it applies to the interaction with horses too. So this includes your love of yourself. If love is giving people, horses, yourself, the freedom to disappoint you. And this ought to include your instructor's feelings towards you. If you can't do exactly what they want you to do or what they would do. So as a teacher, I really want to help a student make progress, but I'm open to creativity. More and more so as I get, I'd like to think, wiser. So it's not about creating another carbon copy. It's not about you becoming a carbon copy of whatever supposed perfect technique there is out there. It's about being in a perfect relationship to the reality of you and the reality of your horse and what you can and want to do. And you can still get to many places that way. I remember back in the day, I used to do a lot of rock climbing, and not in the gym, but like out on real rocks. And I remember there'd be climbs, and you know, some of these climbs they're named, they're prescribed, they're rated, there's routes, and you can often look up and see the chalk marks of like, okay, there's that handhold, and then it goes to that handhold. And so when I first was starting to rock climb, I was like so surprised. I'm like, oh, it's actually like mapped out. It's not just up a rock. And I remember following the people that I went with and watching how they would get the moves. Okay, their left hand's on that handhold, the left right foot's on that handhold, and there's these specific moves you got to get from here to there. And sometimes when the climbs are really hard, you know, there's just not many choices. Like, that's the only handhold there is. And so there's a certain, you know, similarity in how everybody does the climb. But I remember one time being up on this rock face and I could see the chalk marks and I was stuck. Like I just couldn't get the move. And I was climbing with a guy. And so their, you know, center of gravities are a little different. And we were about the same height, but, you know, different proportions. And I remember trying to do the move exactly the way the chalk mark showed I should do it, exactly the way he was doing it. And I just couldn't get it. And at some point I realized that I was more focused on trying to do the move than I was at trying to get up the rock face. And something just clicked at one point and I went, well, don't, you know, I kind of let my body do what it felt like doing. And it held the handhold with my left hand. I just took it at a different angle. And then I was able to find like an intermediary tiny little thing for my foot to be able to kind of step on its way to the foothold that I was really supposed to get to. And I just shifted my whole body in just a slight way, but completely differently than what my friend had been doing. And so I did it, quote unquote, wrong, but I got there. And so after I finished that climb, I just remember thinking about it in the moment, how it was just a shift of my perspective of instead of trying to get every single step to be what I thought was the prescribed way of doing it. Instead of focusing on that, I focus on how can I get my body to get from here to there. And that's what made all the difference. And then after we were done, you know, the person behind me was like, whoa, the way you did that, that was so much scarier that way. And I was like, no, it wasn't. It wasn't scary for me. But when they followed me up and they were trying to do it, they're like, whoa, I can't possibly do it that way. That feels really awkward. In many riding programs, though, if you see someone doing, if this instructor sees their student doing something, that's not right. You know, sometimes they're like, no, don't do it like that. It can be really hard to be creative and feel like you can try your own moves. But I think it's got to be okay for you to talk to your instructor and let them know what you feel comfortable or uncomfortable doing. And if you're not comfortable riding what your trainer suggests, it doesn't always mean that you have to send your horse off for training. I mean, sometimes it does. But at some point, the horse is going to come back and you're going to still need to find your way together again. You're going to need to participate in this process, you and your horse together. And there are many riders who simply lack the confidence or ability to mimic how their trainer would ride the horse. But that doesn't mean they can't be successful doing it a little differently. There's many paths you could take and still get there. And the more confident you are in seeing where you are on the map and knowing where you want to go to, the more confident you'll be to find the right guides to keep you pointed in the right direction and find your way. Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Dressage Naturally video classroom. Yeah, that's my program. So if you love this podcast, you will really love the video classroom. It's where you can see me coaching students, narrating my rides on horses, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and so much more. So let's see all these words put into action. Check it out with a 1 week free trial, and then it's just $29 a month after that. So even if you only watch one video a month, it is totally worth it. So what are you waiting for? Go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom. Okay, now let's get back to the pod. Your horse wants to understand you. Now, of course, sometimes having someone else to ride and train your horse at key moments is super valuable. So don't not do that when it's necessary. But again, really try to do it as a strategic plan to help you and your horse get together. I've met so many students who were quite capable, to ride their horse, but maybe we're going through a little rough spot, or it's a young horse, or, you know, especially if it's a young horse and it's a really nice horse, and we, you know, students will feel like, oh, I don't want to ruin it. And, you know, yes, there's moments where you need to, for the sake of the education of the horse and the best setup for success, you know, you need the horse to learn certain things. And if you really can't do that and don't want to do that, then don't do that. Let somebody else help the horse. But there's this group of riders that I see that are capable and it's safe enough, but they're having trouble because the what they need to do to go through this particular little rough patch, when they picture the solution to it, they're picturing how some trainer would ride through it, and maybe it would become more dramatic or more difficult looking, or, you know, more of a kerscuffle than they're willing to ride through. You know, sometimes you'll have a trainer who can ride through things better than they can. However, not every problem has to get worse before it gets better. And so it's really fun to find where I can help these students have the amazing experience of going through a process and helping the horse and kind of being the hero. So, you know, this podcast isn't for everybody. There's going to be people who need to get professional help to help educate their horse. But there's a large group of people who ride perfectly well enough, but doubt themselves. And that you don't have to meet every problem in such a way that the problem gets bigger and more explosive and more dramatic. There's a way to, you know, take the meandering path to the horse and just find out what the horse needs to know. And that's a question that I repeat more and more at clinics when riders get into this situation. I go, well, what does your horse need to know? And if it's a rider that's been experienced and this is a young horse, I say, remember, you know more about riding than this horse knows about being ridden. So what does your horse need to know? And if you can answer that question, then you can find lots of different ways to help let your horse know what he needs to know. And that's what I really love, to help students understand where they are on the map and to know the direction that they need to go, and then to have lots of ways of navigating whatever stands in between point A and point B. But most of all, this really has to be about enjoying the process. And if you do that, then you're a success in every moment. Every little step on the wandering little path and detours you take are valuable. And one successful moment, followed by another, will always get you somewhere. It might not always be exactly where you thought you wanted to go, but in the end, it's exactly where it needed to go. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.